Have you ever wondered about the calling of your church leaders? These are the things that we explore on The Calling. I'm John Nichols. Now serving in ministry at St. Thomas Aquinas, let's meet Father G. Good morning, Father G.
Good morning. Good to be here with you guys.
Your story sees you serving every day at St. Thomas Aquinas Church in Cookeville, but the story of your calling starts much sooner. We want to take a look today at how you came to know the Lord.
Yes, it's interesting because as a Catholic, I'm a credo Catholic, means that I was baptized only a couple of days old, about two weeks old. But you know, faith wasn't really something that was strong in my family, or you know, I would say there was faith was there, but it was not like as a kid, I never remember myself, you know, my parents praying or doing something like that. Of course, we went to church on the, you know, big feast days or commemorations and celebrations, but it was not really a lot. Cool thing is I was an exchange student in Cookeville High School.
Okay.
In 1996, the first year of the new high school.
Wow.
So I was an exchange student here, and it's kind of a full circle story. Now I'm serving as a pastor at the same parish that, you know, became my home parish.
Yes.
So anyways, never did like religious education or anything like that. In Brazil, we don't have like a, you know, you don't go to like Sunday school. You go to preparation for your first communion, preparation for your confirmation. I was what I would call like a troublemaker. So the nuns that were running the religious education program, I had a surgery on my feet, so I couldn't really do my first communion on the year that I was supposed to do. So we were a couple of years later, I came back to the program, and I was like much bigger than the other kids and all that stuff, you know, older than the other kids. So they kind of, you know, the nuns kicked me out of the program and said, you know, we can't handle you. So I came to the United States. I was an exchange student here. My family, my host family here really wasn't Catholic or any, you know, they didn't have like a faith background. So when I went back to Brazil a couple of years later, at that point, my family almost like had me like a lost cause. When I was about 18, my sister decided to do her preparation for confirmation. And I went with her. And one Sunday, I went to confession and I did my first communion that Sunday at night. And kind of that's kind of how the story started. And I start continuing preparation for my confirmation. And long story short, I was going to be out. I was going to be in the United States and when my confirmation class was going to happen. And I end up asking my pastor to if I could be confirmed before. He said, yes, but then you have to come back as a catechist. So okay. Helping with the class.
What do you think led you to asking your pastor that question?
I think that I was a little bit frustrated that it took so long for me to do my first communion. I was 18 at the time. So normally I do first communion in the Catholic Church about 9, 10 years old.
Okay.
So I didn't want that to happen again. So he said, yes, but you have to come back as a catechist, you know, like for a disciple sure. To helping other people. So I was like, yeah, absolutely, I would do that. Forward a couple of years at that time, I was right in college. And so I came back as a catechist and helping other kids to be confirmed. And I went to college. And, you know, I just participated. I was invited to this retreat called Life in the Holy Spirit Seminar. And that retreat really changed my life forever. Yeah. So I was able to go to that retreat. I was able to figure out that God loved me so much that no matter what, wow. He loved me.
Yes. Yes. And what did you call the title of that retreat?
It's a Life in the Holy Spirit Seminar.
Life in the Holy Spirit. Well, talk to us about that. What happened yeah. on that retreat?
Yeah, so that retreat is a pretty cool retreat because, you know, even today after many years, after 24 years, I'm still kind of part of that, you know, of the charismatic community. And it's, you know, simple talks about God's love, sin and salvation, the promise of God for you, and kind of build me up to, so I could understand exactly what was, you know, that truly that love, that God loved me no matter what.
Right.
And, you know, so many times we feel that God loves me if I'm a good person. You know,
right.
So many times it's like, oh, you know, our parents are like, if you don't do this or if you do this, God is going to be mad of you. So that's kind of the image that I had of God. And at that retreat, really, I understood that God loved me no matter what.
Right.
Even with my sins, even yes. with everything. And he loved me so much that he doesn't want me to be the same way.
So from that point, talk to us about what happened after that point that led you ultimately to where you're at right now.
Yeah. So that point, I went to be a missionary for 3 years, you know, get out of this community that I was a missionary, came back home. And at that point, went back to college, finished my degree in tourism and hospitality.
Okay.
You know, and
That works well in a church context.
Yes, yes. It's funny because I never thought that I was going to use that degree so often that I do. But anyways, yeah, and then I finished. It took a little bit longer for me to finish because I was trying to figure out. I knew where the Lord was calling me,
okay,
but I really didn't know how exactly to get there.
Okay.
So, you know, after prayer and everything, I remember receiving my diploma from my school, and I get that diploma and I gave it to my mom. It's like, here it is. You know, mm-hmm. like, this is not, it was great, but it was not it. Something right. was missing.
Yeah.
Something was missing. And then, you know, through these missionary years and prayer and all that, I was able to say, you know, God has really called me to something. And just kind of a little, I was serving mass. I was being an altar server, you know, altar boy in a mass in the college. And I, you know, I was holding a microphone for the priest. And when he raised the chalice, I saw my image in the chalice. Mm. And it was one of those things that, like, I mean, probably saw that multiple times, you know.
Sure.
But I saw that image and I heard that sweet voice of God asking, would you be willing to do this for the rest of your life?
Mm.
And I remember that I said, I believe I'll be happy to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow.
So, you know, that voice and that calling kept me going. And even the difficulties, you know, and long story, you know, I went to the seminary in Brazil, I was kicked out of the seminary, you know, and then came to the United States and I met Bishop Chobe. He was the bishop of the Diocese of Nashville at the time. And I kind of told him, you know, my story, and he accepted me as a seminarian for the diocese. So that was, gosh, 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago. And I went to San Antonio, did my master's degree in theology there. And then 2013 was ordained a deacon. 2014 was ordained a priest. First 4 years of my priesthood, I spent at Father Ryan High School as a chaplain. Then went to Franklin, St. Philip Catholic Church there for a year. And then after that, I became the chaplain for University Catholic, that is the campus ministry for the Diocese of Nashville. And, you know, the program was growing and everything. And I went to the diocese, hey, the program is growing, I need some help. And they said, mm-hmm. yes, by the way, you're going to be a pastor in Cookeville.
Wow.
And you're going to be the diocesan director of campus ministry for the whole diocese.
Wow.
So I was like, thank you.
Wow.
There was not any help, but yeah.
and all of that, because you saw your face in the chalice and heard the sweet voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing. More with Father G on the calling when we come back. We're back on the calling. I'm John Nichols. Our guest today is Father G from the St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church here in Cookeville. And we're discussing your early years serving and learning and hearing, as you said, the sweet voice of the Lord. For those of us who may be wondering what that voice sounds like, how would you describe that?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes if you say, I heard the Lord talking to me, people are like, are you crazy?
Right, sure.
But, you know, I think that the Lord speaks to us in many different ways. You know, and I think that the main thing through our prayer life, we have to understand and we have to recognize His voice. Because there are so many, you know, and so many saints of the church talk about this. There are so many voices inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are the voice of the flesh. You know, centuries of Avila talks about that. Talks, you know, about the voices of the flesh, the voices of sin, the voice of the devil. And sometimes even our voices, you know. But we have to recognize and through prayer and everything, like, what is God's voice? God's voice is that voice that gives you peace. It doesn't necessarily leave you in peace, but mm-hmm. give you peace.
It gives you peace, yeah.
You know, it's that voice that leads you to do what He wants you to do. Because, you know, we're all created by God. And God has a purpose for each one of us. And, you know, I'm really bad at quoting saints. St. Augustine says, you know, our heart is restless until we find the Lord.
Mm.
So when we find the Lord and we find that calling and we find that place that God invites you to be, not necessarily to do, because a lot of things people think about vocation, like, I can do all this stuff.
Right.
And it's not, you know. It's who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the world today, so crazy with identity, crisis of identity, or that stuff. Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm a son of God, created by Him. Mm. And He loves me so much that He wants me. And, you know, Psalm 115 says, what can I repay the Lord for everything He has done? Mm-hmm. You know, and I got a point in my life that I said, there's nothing. Mm. The only thing that I can do is give my life back to Him.
Someone told me one time, you're a human being.
Yes, not a human doing. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
And I think it's so easy to get confused because we hear the wrong voice. Yes. And
even
so
when we
busy.
Talk, you know, even when we talk about vocation, you know, sometimes a young man or young lady come and say, what do you do? You know, it's like, I'm a priest. You know, what do you do? It's like, well, I do all that stuff because I'm a priest. Mm. Sometimes on the First Communion classes, you know, I go in and I talk with the kids and I say, you know, all superheroes have a superpower, right? It's like, yeah. Like, what is the superpower of superheroes? So we talk about that. It's like, my superpower is to transform a piece of bread in the body and blood of Christ. Mm. My other superpower is to forgive sins. And they go crazy, right? And then like on their First Communion Mass, like on the moment, and I say, at this moment, I'm going to say these prayers and that piece of bread is going to become really the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. Mm. So watch out. Mm. And it's awesome because they kind of like, oh, like big eyes and just kind of waiting for that moment.
Sure, sure. So you know, you got a big burden. You lead people and you do these things. What personally helps you maintain your walk with Christ?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, I'm a part of this community called Shalom. That means peace in Hebrew. But it's like I have, you know, one cannot give what one doesn't have it. Mm. You know, so before I come to the office, I have my prayer time. I have that opportunity to stop everything. And even before I start my day, be with the Lord. Because, you know, people don't want me. People want the Lord that I have. Mm. You know, so if I don't have that personal experience with Christ, if I don't have that opportunity to be with Christ every day of my life, it's just going to be, you know, there's a saint, and again, I told you that I'm bad on quoting saints, but, you know, the saint says that, you know, people, as a priest, people want to take pieces of us as the Eucharist, you know, because they want so much God that they want it really. And I think that, you know, as a father, as a mother, you have the experience as well, you know,
sure,
that you give pieces of yourself. And one of, in the church, we just made a big renovation of the church, and on the altar, on the front of the altar, we have a pelican. You know, and the pelican is that sense of self-giving. Mm. You know, if the pelican, the little babies need flesh, and, you know, they need food and there's no food, it takes from the egg on flesh and feed. So I think for us, it's kind of the same way as ministries, as people of God. It's like people want God in us.
Yes. More with Father G and where his life and service are now when we come back on The Calling. Our guest on The Calling this week is Father G from the St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church, who's been talking to us about his life and his spiritual formation, how he hears that sweet voice of God. Father G, we want to talk to you a little bit about how you serve. What does a day look like for you? Just a typical day.
Yeah, it's funny because there's no day like other day, you know. But like I said, we start, you know, wake up, feed my dog, you know, get some coffee, my assistant, pray, and then go to the office. And then, you know, it depends. Each day is a different day, you know. Sometimes people, and I think that for the life of a priest is this cool thing because we never know. And sometimes I have my day all planned, and then I got a phone call from the hospital. I have to drop everything and go see somebody who is dying right now, and I can give the last rites and anoint that people and be with that person. You know, but, you know, it's a little bit of everything. It's meetings, you know, just right before this time I was in a staff meeting. Talking about the church, talk about, you know, administration and, you know, the doors and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just kind of 2 days ago, it was, we were getting ready for Ash Wednesday. A couple of days ago, we were getting ready for Ash Wednesday. And the funniest thing, you know, we were burning the palms for the next day's service. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that priest does, you know, burn palms for. And it was funny because somebody called the fire department because there was a fire in the church. So next thing I saw, there were three fire trucks, engines coming up. And I, where's the fire? It's like, it's gone. It's just the ashes for the service tomorrow.
That's kind of the point.
It's kind of like, and then one of the funny thing, one of the firefighters is a parishioner, so he was just laughing, you know. And the other guy comes out and look at me like, "What?" I was like, "Well, there was a fire, but it was, you know, content. It was in the fire pit. Everything was fine." And he just shake his head like, "You Catholic, you weird things." It's like, "Yep, that's one of the things that you do." So there's not really, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, we have a baptism right away, and then in the next thing, the person comes to me talk is like, "Hey, Father, I'm." No, my mom just died. So it's a little bit of everything. So I think that one of the things that I learned when I was a chaplain for a hospital, one of the things we do is CP, clinical pastor education training. And, you know, one of the things that my supervisor always said, whenever you get inside of those rooms, when you knock on that door, remember, you go into a sacred place. Mm. You know, it's that sacred place in people's lives. And, you know, and as a priest, I'm a celibate man, so I don't have kids on my own. And so, Father, do you have, and I love, you know, with the kids and take pictures and, you know, right. Play with the kids. And it's great because, you know, when they poop, I just give it back to the parents and they have to change their diapers. It's not for me.
Best of both.
Yeah, but, you know, but it's that kind of thing, that whole idea of spiritual fatherhood. Mm. You know, sometimes people come to me and they invite me to go to that sacred place that is so deep inside of their souls that they have never talked to their own father and mother, mm-hmm. You know, and they open up. And, you know, so that allowed me to, you know, fulfill my vocation because, yes, as a man, I have that desire for fatherhood, you know, spiritual fatherhood. So I'm invited to go to that sacred place where it's, you know, sometimes the person, me and God. You know, it's sometimes depending on where the people are, they don't able to see God, so they will see God through me. Mm. So it's scary,
yes,
you know.
Sure,
it's a responsibility, sure. But it's also like I understand that I'm just the pipes.
Mm.
You know, I'm just God is using me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like anytime that I go to a meeting or whatever, it's like Lord, this is your church. You know, I think that Pope Paul VI would say, Lord, I'm going to sleep. It's your church. You take care of it. Tomorrow morning, I wake up and I, you know, in a way, it's kind of that, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, Lord, this is your church. I'm only here being, you know, trying to be a administrator, steward of your church, but this is your church. Mm-hmm. This is your people. And I'm just here to try to do the best that I can.
I love it. So there's probably someone out there listening right now that's having one of those chalice experiences, right? They see the Lord in some way. They're hearing that voice, but they're not sure mm-hmm. how to get from this moment to where they want to be. What would you encourage them to do?
Find a way to love the Lord. Find a way to have that personal encounter. In Pope Francis, that's one of the things that he talks a lot about, is that personal encounter with Christ. That is the, you know, like for me, it was that moment. I said, that was the moment that changed everything. And that moment helped me to move forward. And even, you know, some of the saints talk about consolations and desolations, you know. Mm. So the consolations are here for when we're in desolations, you say, there was that high moment so I can look. So I think that was my consolation moment, you know. So when I can go back and even in the midst of all the challenges and everything, I heard the voice of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, in the gospel, we see, Peter, he was doing his own thing, you know, manning his nets and all that stuff. And then the Lord say, come and follow me.
Mm.
And one of the things that I always love about the disciples' stories, like, they didn't ask buts or ifs. They just went.
They just went.
Because they had that personal encounter with Christ himself. So you don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. You don't need you found the Lord, and then you can go because you know who he is.
I've heard it said God is the God of the mountains and the valleys.
Yes, absolutely.
And so when I'm in the valley, I can think back to those mountaintop experiences, and it helps me there. We've just got another minute or two.
Okay.
What would you share if you had one other thing to share? What do you want people to know?
Oh boy, I would say come see us. You know, come see us. And I know that, especially here in the South, it's a lot of people don't understand the Catholic Church. It's like those weird people doing weird things. Come and see. You know, just like the Lord invited the disciples, come and see. Love to have you guys there. We have the services, you know, have a bunch of opportunity for prayer. We just had a big renovation in the church. And just a place to be with the Lord.
We've always got young people who listen. And if you could share just one word of advice to young people and how to connect to the Lord, what would that word be?
Do not be afraid. Follow him.
Not be afraid. Follow him. Father G, thank you for sharing your calling. Wherever you are and whoever you are, whatever has happened in the midst of everything and anything you're feeling, the Lord is calling you higher into something better. I'm John Nichols on The Calling. This is where we get to meet the church. See you next time.